and have just kind of reached out to them and put their arms around them. They just well, you're gonna experience a couple who really love each other this morning. You'll see that, and it's wonderful to see that in Michael and Penny, and they're gonna come and share with us what God has put on their hearts this morning. So would you welcome Michael and Penny Proctor as they come and share with us this morning? God bless you guys.
Thank you. Okay, we get to look at a whole new group now. You guys are awesome. Hey!
How many were here last service? Just curious. A few returnees.
Okay. My friend Georgian always says, let me see your Isaac face.
Yeah.
Take that Ishmael face and wipe it off. The laughter face, you know. I love seeing your faces and seeing how beautiful you are. As we mentioned last service, this house is really our favorite house in Seattle, and we just love you guys. We felt such a connection here for several years since Darren was pastor and invited us over for several things, and man, our hearts just connected right off the bat. We really feel at home here. You guys are really family to us.
Yeah, we brag on you. We funnel people this way. So you guys,
yeah.
You guys have dug wells of revival that we've gleaned from in the past too. So
yeah,
bless you.
Yeah, we did. In fact, our daughter is here from. She's at Bethel. She's on the worship team down there. You might have seen her. She's tall, redhead, plays violin. And our son-in-love, we call him, is Angelo. He's on staff there as one of the outreach pastors at Bethel and Reading, and they're here, and we were talking about people coming to our meetings from a long distance. You know, we meet in a barn on Friday nights, and it's fun. I mean, it's in a barn. It's cool. It's very cool. It's kind of a real trendy thing. We didn't know it was trendy until someone told us it was, but we're in a barn meeting, and we worship, and we just really take our time, and we're not in a hurry to get into the presence, and we're not in a hurry to get out of it. And so we just take our time there. And people come from a long way, sometimes a couple hours, to come there. And our daughter was saying, well, don't you remember, Dad, Mom, when revival was busting out, we would travel. And we would go wherever the presence was. We went to Seattle Revival Center. Remember, we used to go to Seattle Revival Center in those days? It's like, oh, yeah, that's right, we did. We used to go to Olympia. We'd go up north. You know, I mean, we went all over the place, and we'd go to Bethel. We started the train down to Bethel, taking people all the time back in the early days. It was like, you guys got to come. Don't make me explain it. Let's just go. And we'd have just a great time. But you guys are real, real dear to our hearts, and we got a real, real connection here. Love you guys so much.
Well, we'd like to tell you where we started meeting as a, you know, as a couple, and then we got married. We were in Honolulu, and his parents moved there for jobs, and so did mine, but we didn't know each other. But he came into this little evangelical Christian church that we went to, that I went to. I was leading worship and the Young People's Jesus People movement, you know, it's really cool. And well, I'll let him tell you how he was drugged there or invited there many times, but. Go for it. You want to? Oh. I think that's a cool story. I'll let you explain.
Just a little background of who we are. I was there at this particular school. I was 18, 19 years old, and I was working in the maintenance department. And I had an old T-shirt from when I had attended a Fellowship of Christian Athletes conference. Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So of course, this young, on fire, Jewish kid about this big who loved Jesus with all his heart. Saw that shirt and thought, surely this guy's on fire too. I was just a backslidden guy, just doing my thing, doing whatever I wanted. Well, he kept coming to my door week after week after week, unrelenting, just like the song that the worship team was singing. He won't relent till I come to youth group, you know, essentially. And it was week after week, and I always had a lame excuse why I couldn't go, you know. And eventually he wore me down. And I got on my 10 speed, and I said, okay, I'm gonna go. And I rode my bike to this little church in Kaimuki, right behind Diamond Head. And that was the epicenter of revival in Hawaii in those days. There was just amazing things happening there. I'd never seen anybody worship in the Spirit. I didn't even know what speaking in tongues was. I didn't know any of this. And I walk into this little group of 35 people from age 8 up to about 40.
Little surfers sitting on the floor, just bleached hair.
And they're leading worship with beams of light from heaven coming down on her smiling,
I love this part
angelic
of the story,
face. No. Penny is leading worship in there. It was like,
awesome.
Oh, my heart, I was smitten. And I was kind of a little shy about talking to her, you know.
He was pretty good looking too. He had this afro. Can you believe it? Afro.
Believe it or not, yeah, my hair
blue
was long
eyes.
And curly in the old days.
Couldn't believe what he was hearing. You know, he was kind of freaked out. But
I was a little freaked. But I went home that night, and I told my mom. I said, "Mom, I think I found the woman that I'm going to marry." Yeah, I win. Anyway,
no, I win too.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was how we met, and what's the gist of that? Sparks, yes, spark the flame. You guys
worship.
Worship.
We were worshipers together.
Worship was kind of what drew us together. He started playing more and more guitar, and you know, we did songs together, and we led worship, and so that was the substance that really connected our hearts, and that was what connects a lot of it to get today too. We start to mentor other people, and we go, wow, I just know this is really what brought us together, what God brought us together doing, and worship is truly God's heart for his bride. And so, that's part of it, and I'll talk more about that.
Yeah, I think we're going to sing a song now.
Oh, you want to do that now?
Let's do that now.
Okay, while he's getting a guitar.
We're professional, we're random professionals.
This is random, okay. But this song was from Bob Kilpatrick, and he wrote In My Life, Lord Be Glorified, and a whole bunch of other songs. But anyway, he wrote this song. It's about romance from God's point of view. It's so simple. That's why we miss it. And the words are very endearing because God invented romance, put it in our hearts. He put it in the hearts of every person. You don't, if you don't think you have a romantic bone in your body, you really do, because God put it there. And so, am I going back here?
So I want you to picture this. I want you to look at the Sistine Chapel ceiling right now. And I want you to see God reaching down with his finger, and he's creating man. And you see their fingers like this. It's so simple. That's why we miss it. But it's not hard to understand that message of the ages. It's romance. One hand reaches for another. Do you see their tender dance? Fingers touching, only pointing to romance, to romance. And when the lover of our spirits woos the heart and lights the fire, our passion will forever seek to fill that high desire. It's so simple, that's why we miss it. But it's not hard to understand that the reason for his coming was romance. It's romance.
So that was a random thing, but we just felt like that was an important little message tidbit for this, is that it's very simple. God designed us like that, and I'm going to do that Genesis thing. I love it.
I'm going to do the Genesis thing. We're tag teaming right now, so I am going to do the Genesis thing. I think that I want to talk to you just first of all about neurotransmitters. Yeah. Neurotransmitters, it's things that are in the brain, get released when certain things happen. I want to talk first of all, we're talking about intimacy, we're talking about love, we're talking about romance, we're talking about lighting the fire again. When you sing, well, let me just say it this way first. When you hear music, with modern technology, scientists have been able to scan what's going on in the brain during certain activities. When you listen to music, it has been discovered that there's not a single part of your brain that is not activated and involved. Used to be thought that there was a music center. There is no music center. Your whole brain is a music center. And little synapses are clicking, and little things are going off all over. Within a 30,000th of a second, everything is connecting and clicking. But what was further discovered is when you participate in music, when you sing, when you play, Daniel, when you're whacking the tubs, man, back there behind the shield, when you're singing, when you're dancing, your whole brain is having a massive party. There's a party going on inside your head that you didn't know about when you're actually participating in music. There is something that God designed in people for the romance of heaven to occur when we are in this realm of adoration, in this realm of praise and worship, in this realm of this love relationship with our God in heaven. It's really how he designed it. I seriously believe that worship was meant that we were made for this ability to worship so that we could make this connection with him. I also feel like worship was that we were designed to worship so we could lose weight, you know. That was something, and I really feel it. Honestly, I think it's a whole being thing, you know, body, soul, and spirit, you know. And so we're going to talk a little bit about body, soul, and spirit. But I wanted to talk about the neurotransmitters that occur. You know, there's a really awesome hormone called oxytocin. Oxytocin is been called the love hormone. It's been called the trust hormone. And what happens is when you make contact with a person like this, you got about 6 seconds before the oxytocin starts to be released. Feel that?
Six.
She just counted to six. And the more I hold on, the more connection I get. The trust hormone is being released. It's more complicated than that. My disclaimer is that I'm not a scientist, but I know that this is true. The trust hormone works when you shake someone's hand and he wants a hug. He wants a hug. Let's give him a hug. 6 seconds. We're really trusting each other about now. But that's what happens. There's an actual release of oxytocin when that happens. When you're singing and worshiping, there's also a release of dopamine. In prayer, when you speak in tongues, when you're praying, isn't that amazing? It's a pleasure hormone. It's a neurotransmitter. It's a pleasure hormone that gets released. And you know, I keep thinking, well, you've shown me, O Lord, what is good, and what? Wrong scripture. But it's a good scripture. They're all good. They're all good scriptures. That was the wrong one. It's the one where he says, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures evermore. You realize that you were created for the pleasure of God and also to experience his pleasure. This is all about romance. This is about love and intimacy. You can interrupt me at any time. and correct me if you need to. But
I just did a word search on romance and just the mystery part. You know, there's mystery and there's intrigue and there's adventure, and you know, people love adventure, and sometimes an adventure is just a stroll down the street adventure. Sometimes you're hiking up big mountains adventure. And that's all a part of romance. It's built into us. Watching a movie with the heroine, he romances the beautiful woman, and he saves her from whatever. All those things, even the strangely beautiful things, sort of romantic, you know. I mean, God just put those things in us. And so that's, romance is God's idea. There's so much more to it. If you don't think you have it, you have it. It's in you. And so, because God put it in you.
I want to kind of maybe challenge some assumptions that you may have had. And I also want to encourage you in the things that, I want to encourage you that all of you get to be partakers of this great passion that the Father has. You know, we're talking about married couples and lighting the fire again, and being intentional with each other in terms of our relationships and so forth. But I want to let you know that if you're single, if you're divorced, if you're wanting to be married, if you are married now and not in a great marriage or great relationship, or if you're in a great relationship, all of those situations, you are the recipient of passion from heaven. And we're going to illustrate that here in just a moment. I love the term mystery. That's romance. Romance is mystery. There's an element of it that can't be escaped. And I looked up the word mystery in the Bible, because she was looking up the definition. She says, "Oh, I like this mystery," and I thought, "I got to look that up." And so I looked up the word mystery, and I found that it occurs 29 times in the Scripture. The word mystery. But 10 of those times is in Ephesians and Colossians, where Paul is explaining the mystery of the gospel. Paul is explaining the revelation of what the plan of the ages is. And you'll find, like what we just sang about, if you look at it as a whole, you will find that that is the message. Do you realize that the Bible begins with a wedding? Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it begins with a wedding. And when you go to the end of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22, it ends with a wedding. Those are the bookends of the thread that connects all of the whole story of the gospel. The entire thing is connected. This is all about romance. This is about God's love and passion for you. You were made body, soul, and spirit. We've heard that. I like people to not think so much of body, soul, and spirit in separate categories. I like you to think of body, soul, and spirit as a whole being. I like to think of it that way. And I was thinking about a car, honestly. And I thought, wouldn't that be something if you know, the car, you have a car body, and you got kind of the motor is part of it, and a third part might be the transmission. And if you paid attention to only one of those in the whole car, you would have something that would really be not very either attractive or wouldn't work. You know, you could have it all polished up, tricked out, chrome everywhere, and if the motor doesn't run, it's really good for nothing but looking at, you know. And you might have a motor that runs great and be riding around in something that's, you know, banged up, got a hefty bag for a window in the back, you know, and maybe no rear windshield, and running, you know, it's like the car that always has, you know, one of those little tiny spare tires on one wheel all the time, you know, and your motor might be running great, but you might be just a mess in that way, or, you know, whatever. Just pick any one of those things that you want. The car is a whole machine, and everything should be running. Everything should be clean. The inside, the outside, the motor should be good, transmission. When it's all good, it's a beautiful thing. And it works the way that it was supposed to. Get you where you need to go. You think I was a motorhead or something. I'm really not. But I like to have us not think about ourselves individual parts, but think of ourselves as, when we say body, soul, and spirit, I have another way that I like to say it. I like to say that we are spiritual beings, we are emotional beings, and we are sexual beings. Now, the sexual beings part is super important. I don't just say body, because it's not about just eating healthy and having exercise. It's not just about taking care of my body. God gave you a sexual drive. He gave you a sex drive. And he put it there for a reason. And I'm afraid that what's happened in the past decades is we've taught people that aren't married, we've taught them to abstain. You're getting nervous now, aren't you? To abstain from sex, and they're trained and trained and trained to abstain from sex instead of teaching them that you have a sex drive. And between now and the time you're married, we're going to protect that. We're going to cherish it. We're going to take it and focus it in the right way toward your spouse that you're going to marry in the future. Your sex drive and the sexual being that you are is something to be protected, cherished, and managed. That's God put that there. It's different than saying we're just going to do abstinence. I feel sorry for a lot of the kids that grew up in that culture, and they were successful, and then they get married, and now they got to make a switch to, I'm not supposed to have abstinence anymore. I'm having difficulty with this. Instead of saying, let's help you manage all the way through. Focusing that beautiful gift that heaven has given us. So you're a spiritual being, an emotional being, and a sexual being.
That's right.
Am I going to do the Genesis thing? You're going to do this now.
Oh, yeah, no.
I'll do the Genesis thing. Okay. I want you to imagine, here's God in the beginning, and he says this. I love this, because what I think that I'm going to point out here is exactly, I'm going to point out something that is a perfect picture of God himself. And that is this. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. Let us make man in our image. So God is making another being in his own image. So I want you to, first of all, get that thought in your mind, that this is, I'm created in his image. This is a picture. Image is a picture. This is a picture of God. And he says this in Genesis 2:18, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable or comparable, or that complements him, a suitable helper for him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. Whatever the man called the living creature, that was its name. And I was just thinking about Adam being there by himself, and God forming the animals, and I see him looking at them going by, and okay, yeah, that's kind of cool. That's a bear. I'll call that one a donkey. Ooh, funny looking thing. Orangutan. That's a good name for that one, you know. And a goat. And he's there naming them as they go by, and he's doing this whole thing. The whole day goes by, and it said there wasn't a helper suitable that was found for Adam. Now, I want you to think about passion right now. I want you to think about the passion of Heavenly Father. And I want you to think about passion that was in Adam. Adam was lonely. There's a bunch of animals. These guys, I'm not attracted. I need something to compliment me. So what does God do? He comes along, puts him in a deep sleep. And in this deep sleep, which I want to also point out to you, something very important, that when you rest, God works. I heard an amen. I heard one.
That's
good. God works when you rest. Sometimes when we work, he waits. I said before in the other service, I want just this is a nugget you can take home. Diligence is not the same as striving. So here we have Father putting Adam into a deep sleep. Takes a piece of his side, takes a rib, forms woman. Adam wakes up. Here is the helper suitable for him. Where did the helper come from? From him. From inside. And he said, wow, she will be called woman, or woe man, because she was taken out of man. And it says right at that point, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, you've heard all that before, but I want to point out something that you might not have put together. Man was made in God's image. She came from Adam. She had passion for her husband. Her husband had passion for her. The passion that she had came from him. It came from his side. It came from where his heart was. Do you realize that you, as a body of Christ, man, woman, child, elder person, you yourselves came from the heart of God. You were in his heart before the foundation of the world. The picture of Adam and Eve in here is a picture of God and you. You are the mysterious, adventurous, magnificent, unbelievable, glorious bride of Christ that he looks at with such extreme passion that you would, if you could receive all of the passion that God has for you right now, you'd probably go, I don't know that your sexual being could handle it. Your body might just blow up. I don't have any scripture for that, but maybe there is one. But what I wanted to point out was is that in this thread of the passion of the Father that is throughout the scripture, you are the mystery. You are part of this great mystery that Paul speaks of in Ephesians and in Colossians. You are part of this great mystery, that you are part of this body. You are part of this bride. The passion of God was expressed in picture when Eve was formed from Adam's side. That's the picture. You were formed from God's heart. You are the object of his affection. And I said, diligence is not the same as striving. And in the scripture I read that this is love, not that we loved him, but that he first loved us. And here's the thing I want to challenge you. I mentioned before that I've said it, I was created to worship him. I was created to love him. And I am created for those things. But I more accurately put it this way. I was created to be loved by him. And to return the love. I was created to receive his passion and become passionate for him. That's the real deal. When I live my life from that stance, do you understand what happens? I'll tell you what. You live from a place of love, acceptance, and passion. You never live, and that in diligence, you never live from a place of striving for love, striving for acceptance, hoping that I'll be good enough, or that I'll do good enough, or that he'll like me today. You guys are so quiet. You thought we were going to talk about intimacy and sex and stuff, but we are kind of...
I am. Here we go. No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously, this is what I'm saying. This is foundational. This is like when I talk about the thread that overarches all of Scripture. This is the big picture. Romance. The Father romancing you. He said, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. Well, he earlier was thinking, you know, it's not good for my son to be alone. I'm going to get him a bride. I'm going to get the best one ever. I'm going to get him the one that's the most beautiful, the most amazing, and she is going to be a well-satisfying, amazing creature for my son. And there's going to be a wedding. Are you going to be there? I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. Anybody else going to be there? I'm going to be there. Go ahead. You're going to say something before I fell off the platform.
Yeah. Well, we've been married about 40 years and a half now. 40 years, okay.
Which means that we've learned a lot of things not to do.
Yes. And so we've had to go through a lot of, you know, learning curves, but we've always been in the 101 school of marriage and being intentional. Never get out of that school. We never stop learning. And if you're married, that's part of your goal should be towards intentionality and purposefulness towards making your marriage like Christ loved us. You know, Christ loved us first. He's got his love on towards us first, and that's what we want to do towards each other. So one of the ways that I really feel is such an important thing now is to, for everybody, young, old, married, unmarried, across the board, especially if you're married right now, is to engage in blessing your partner's spirit. And maybe at night, just put that hand on there, and I just say, I bless your spirit, Mike. I bless what God's put in you I call your spirit to the forefront above your mind, and I call it above your body, just to be leading you, to hear what Papa God says about you and all the good things that he has for you. And you know what? When you start blessing somebody's spirit, you don't even have to be in the same room, but it's really good because then you got that oxytocin thing going on. But but when you bless your spouse's spirit, you start to speak truth into how God sees them. You may have had a big thing going on, argument or whatever, troubles, trials, but you take that moment to just speak into how God sees them. You could just go on and on at that one. You can bless their mind. You can ask for their mind to be blessed too, but blessing their spirit is really awesome. If you're a parent and you have a hard time with a strong-willed child or something at night, bless their spirits. You don't even have to be in the room, but you can bless their spirits in the room
or
while they're sleeping. And I must tell you this one story. Mike's mother passed away, and she was battling Alzheimer's to the end. And she had times where a window would open up, but very few windows would open up, so you could tell you were really communicating with her. But there was one day I was there, and I just started to speak to her spirit, and I just said, Marilyn, I bless your spirit. I bless you to hear what Father, Papa God, how much he loves you. And that hazy glazed look sharpened, and I'm telling you, she was back for just a few minutes when I was blessing her spirit, and then it shut. But I know that works. I know that God's designed it like that, because we're body, soul, mind, spirit. We're sexual beings. I'm so glad the church is, your church is doing this. I don't know if anybody else is doing it, but I think it's great here to bring up this whole thing, because God made it, and it's time to hear it the right way and see how God designed us to impact the world as unified. If you're in a husband-wife relationship, you are a powerful duo for the earth, on this earth that we live in right now, to get connected. Other people will see something in your life. They'll sense it. You maybe don't have to say a word, but if you're blessing each other's spirit and connected with Papa God and speaking into the life and ministering to each other, they're going to feel that, and they're going to go, I think that's really amazing, and I'd like that. But you know, God designed us to be impactful, and when two are gathered like that to do that, you're changing more than you think. You're shifting atmospheres. And you can do it alone. You can do it as a single, a child, an older senior citizen. But you are powerful, and it takes two powerful people to be in a marriage, right? There's not someone who just always has the power end or the you know, whatever. It's two powerful people coming together. And so I'm blessing you guys' spirit this morning, that you would be able to really grab that tool. We call it lots of tools in our tool belt, and it's part of the 101 marriage class. And it's going to light the fire. It's going to connect you in a lot of other ways too.
Yeah, light the fire. You know, fire, that's the deal. You know, light, keep that spark going. And she used the word intentional and purposeful. And those are the things that are that you must do in every relationship, but mostly in your love relationship with your spouse, is intentionality. What do I mean by that? I really got to learn what her love language is. You know what her love language is? Her love language is me showing up at the house with my tool belt on, fixing things while she tells me about her day. Acts of service and quality time. Okay, that's her. Mine is more
and foot rubs.
Full body contact while she tells me how awesome I am. which is touch and words of affirmation. And what that means is that I, as a person, need to recognize the things that really speak to her heart and her spirit. And I have to be intentional about doing that. And it's not easy sometimes, you know.
There's these lists that are longer, like 15, 20 points for the men and how to be intentional. And then only about 5 for the women. No, but when just
much
being
simpler, apparently.
Going through, you know, just being intentional, sitting down, listening to your hearts, you know, and
right.
I think so.
That's good, and really seeking to understand. We learned in communication. You want to light the fire? Don't use communication to get your point across. Don't do that. Use communication to understand what the other person, understand the other person. If your goal is to understand, you've won a massive battle. That works in marriages and it works in every other thing. It's learning to understand. If my communication style is to get my point across, you know, here's the one. It's like if she's upset, I just say something like, you're overreacting. And then she says, oh yeah, you're right, I am overreacting, and everything's going to be okay. You guys know that, right? You guys are laughing. Okay, well, that ain't gonna work. But what is gonna work is gonna be, what's wrong? Can I help you? Is there anything I can do for you? What can I do? And then understand. And we even had a thing yesterday where it was difficult to understand each other's heart. We were working at, I think I said this, but I think you heard this, and I need to understand what you're saying. I need to understand. Help me understand. It's a challenge. It's not easy. But communication, to learn to understand, that having that be the goal. I want to understand you. Oh, man, it takes care of all kinds of problems. And being intentional about loving, being intentional about making this connection. You see, we got to make a connection in the spirit realm. Worship, praise, prayer. We make a connection there. We make an emotional connection. But because we are spiritual beings, emotional beings, soul, and sexual beings, we get those things in the right order, and the sexual being part becomes so much more fulfilling and satisfying, so many fewer problems. And
so there's a lot of tools for connection.
Lots of tools. Don't get nervous, we're not getting too far into.
I can't even say all of them, there's so many. But we have resources, you've heard resources here, and I'm sure this church is going for it in that direction, so good.
Yeah.
Don't give up on any of relationships, because God is all about connection. He's a God of relationship and connection, and his heart is to restore.
That's right. So. Now, when you guys, when Penny was talking about two powerful people, I want to help you with something on that. Have you heard that term before, talking about two powerful people in a relationship? If some of you have, good. Essentially, a healthy person and a healthy person. It's not two halves. It's not two halves make a whole. It's a whole healthy person, and a whole healthy person make a great relationship. That's what that means. And it means this. I mean, Jesus was at the Last Supper, right? He's hanging out with his guys. we're going to have a last meal together. And he says, okay, guys, before we start here, I just want to let you know that one of you is going to betray me. In fact, all of you are going to run away. All of you are going to betray me. So what I want to do is make a covenant with you. And I want to bare my heart and be as vulnerable as I can. I mean, he's talking to the people that he knows are going to betray him that night. And what is he doing? His love is so solid that he does not allow any of what he knows is going to happen to keep from directing what it is that he wants to do. I'm going to make a new covenant with you. This is my body. This is my blood given for you. Oh, I don't know if you guys catch the import of that. That was the ultimate example of a powerful person, Jesus, keeping his love on in the face of betrayal. So no matter what I do, say, think, speak, her job is to keep her love toward me solid and secure. I don't care what she says, what she does, if she fails, those things. My job, I'm responsible as a powerful person to keep my love secure and strong and solid toward her. And that could mean all kinds of ways that that scenario plays out. Powerful people make healthy relationship. And the powerful people is not a person that's controlling another person. It's a person that is controlling themselves. You realize that you can't control another person anyway, and you cannot be controlled. If you think you're being controlled, it's because you're allowing something. How did I get off on this? But what I am saying is that you have the power to, on a good day, I can control myself. On some days, I can't control myself. So how would I ever think I control another person? I can't. I'm going to do everything I can to control my love, my decisions, my purposefulness, my intentionality to love my wife no matter what happens, no matter what she says, no matter what she does. That's what my goal is. That's the challenge, and that is...
Shall I have everybody stand up and get some hand on their heart, and let's pray for you.
Yeah.
Is that good?
First of all, I'd like to just show of hands, how many marrieds are there in here? Raise your hand. Marrieds. Okay, keep your hands up. And let's release something over the married people right now. Let's just release something over the married people. So Father, we just bless every person right now who's married, every husband, every wife. We just release right now the revelation of the passion of the Father over their life. I release right now into your heart, into your spirit. We speak to your spirits right now. We say, Spirit, be prominent over your soul and your body. And we release right now the revelation of the passion of heaven over you. We bless you. We thank you, Papa, for every single person here who's married. We thank you, Father, for the spouses that may not be here, who would be nice if they were here, would be awesome if they were here. We even release over them the same prayer, to bless their spirit in Jesus' name. And we release over you the knowledge that your spirit would receive a complete shalom peace, knowing how deeply passionate the Father is for you, and that you are the object of his affection, and that affection and that receiving that and having the relationship with him will infuse your relationships with one another. We bless you in Jesus' name. We bless you. Did you want to add to that, to these marrieds? Because we want to pray for the singles too.
We're ready to go for the singles now.
Yeah. Okay. Singles. Everybody who's single that wants to be married, raise your hand.
Nice.
Okay. Every married person that's around them, would you please lay hands on them? Lay hands on them for the married. Go ahead and raise your hands, singles. Raise your hands that want to be married. Someone lay hands on this young lady right here. And we're just gonna release over you blessing too. Is there anybody? Is there a single here who did? Who's got their hand up and doesn't have a
person on them?
Okay. All right, let's go ahead and release them.
So God, we just thank you for where they're at in their lives right now. We speak a blessing over their spirits and their hearts. And we thank you for the protection that you give us in our hearts until the time that is fulfilled when they find, when you bring a spouse or a partner for them. God, we just thank you for the intentional love that you pour out on them. As this morning, as word came forth, we just bless them with knowing how incredibly loved they are because you sought them out and loved them first. And now they're being completely whole and loved in you and prepared for this experience of finding a husband or a wife. And so we thank you for that foundational first thing, knowing how much they're loved. Thank you, Papa. Thank you, Papa.
That's good. I'm really sensing strongly, almost like there are some here that are really feeling fire or heat, and that you're actually experiencing passion like you haven't experienced it before. I just want to bless that, and I just if you want additional prayer, we're going to be here to pray, and I know I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Sandy here. And just